Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
A hack that you guys can use is take a line of credit. Right, you got some good credit, you got a year, 2-year old LLC, or you got personal good personal credit, go to a bank like Univest. Go to a bank like First Citizens. Go to Citizens Bank, right? Go get you a line of credit. It don't even need to be a lot. Maybe 5 to 10K. You could go ahead and take that, move the money from the line of credit, put it in your bank statement just on the last day. So right now, today, like the 19th, end of the year, about to come the 31st, everybody's bank statement should be hitting around. Do that for like a month or two. Now we ready to go to the hard money lender, show them the statements. They're going to want to see all your LLC docs, your EIN docs, all that good stuff. During this process as well, too, we're going to be making sure that we got our builder's risk insurance as well, too. Because the hard money not going to give you the loan without knowing that if something happened, they getting their money right back.
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for $1 a day? Would you be interested? Inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you 2 coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, help Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, help Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and help Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is an investor, entrepreneur, mentor, coach, and real estate expert extraordinaire. To date, our guest has done well over multiple 6 figures in the real estate acquisition space and has leveraged his expertise to teach others all across the country on how they can do the same. Whether he's creating content online for thousands, teaching them how to get access to business funding and buy their first investment property, or providing gems on the tools, strategies, and resources you need to find, fund, and cash flow from your first deal, the value that this gentleman provides to anyone looking to win in real estate is proof why his success in the space is not coincidence, it's confirmation. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Paterson, New Jersey, I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Corey Haggie. What's going on, family? How are you?
How you doing, bro? I appreciate that. That was beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I try. Yeah, we call it poetry in motion. Yeah, you understand?
The edification was, it was lit.
I appreciate it, man. Lit. I appreciate it. Man, listen, happy to have you on here, brother. How are you?
I'm great, brother. Great just taking this thing day at a time and just pushing forward, man. We on a mission right now.
I love it, man. Absolutely love it. I'm very happy to have you on here. For me, I've had a lot of people in the real estate space, fortunately, come on and bless the platform. And seeing a lot of what you're doing, mm-hmm. but more specifically, the impact that you're having on the people you're connected with,
yeah.
the rooms that I've seen you be able to enter, and just the moves and the wave that you've been making, I would have been remiss if I didn't bring you on here. Mm-hmm. For us to have an incredible conversation.
Yeah,
and I think that's what's about to happen today. So without further ado, let's get right into it, man. I did an okay job introducing you, right? But obviously nobody knows the man, Corey Haggie, better than himself. So who exactly is Corey Haggie?
Well, I'm just my mom's son. Okay. First and foremost, but I'm just a kid out of Paterson, bro. Humble upbringings, seen a lot of things in any type of typical inner city. Most people don't know, but I'm an athlete. Right? Mm. A lot of high school, my middle school stuff, I felt like I that stuff kept me on track. Mm-hmm. It told me a lot of stuff, disciplined in the beginning of my childhood and just in my upbringing. A college graduate, I am a college graduate. I am a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. Mm. And I'm the first one, I feel like, out of my family that is really, like, paving the way. Mm. And a lot of the stuff that, a lot of these entrepreneurs that you bring on here, a lot of us carry that burden with us on a day-to-day basis to go ahead and, lead the way and just pave the road for a lot of people to come through. So I feel like I'm a purpose chaser, and I feel like I help a lot of people go ahead and run to their dreams.
I love it. I love it. So I said a couple of your accolades earlier on in the introduction, but like you know, and like I know, especially navigating the space of business, there's so much that comes before the success. There's mm-hmm. so much that comes before the work that a lot of people see. Yeah. I want to go back a little bit, and you slightly touched on it. If we can, let's go back to 2018.
Right.
You just graduated from Roan University.
Yep.
Get your degree.
Yep.
You start working at a halfway house.
Yeah.
Okay. From what I understand, that was like what life looked like for you, but I'm sure there's a lot more to that. Mm-hmm. Paint that picture for the audience. What was going on around that time?
Around that time, straight out of school, you know, trying to figure out what's next. A lot of people, we go to college and we have these thought processes that when we graduate, we're going to be rich. We're going to be millionaires. Like, we're going to have everything figured out. Mm-hmm. But what a lot of people don't tell you is that that's where the real work starts. So I feel like I prepared myself for the real world, mm-hmm. but when it was right there in my face, it's like, you got to deal with it. And I was working at this halfway house, and it was just so crazy to me, because I always had it inside of me that, yo, I want to reach my next plateau. I want to reach the next level for my life. Mm-hmm. And I was working in there, man, and it was okay in the beginning, but I'm very uncomfortable. I can't stay complacent. Like, I have to do something more. Mm-hmm. I'm made for more. So I was seeing people that was like 40, 50 years old. Mind you, I'm coming here with a fresh Law and Justice bachelor's degree, and I'm making the same amount as them, and they've been working at this halfway house for like 20 years. So that's when the ball went off to me. I'm like, I can't do this for mm-hmm. too much longer.
Yeah.
And I was doing that, and I was working as a security officer at mm-hmm. the college. So I had two jobs, and I was still finding myself not able to go and save up the capital that I want to. And I had a lot of people that I helped in those places that see me afterwards, and, you know, they see this journey that I'm on right now, and they salute me. But it just was a fed up moment that I had during that time, bro. Mm. And that's when I jumped off the porch and I tried my first investment, investing in myself, which was Forex. Mm. And I know a lot of people.
a little controversy around that space, but yeah.
Yeah, and, bro, I mean, to me, that's what really gave me my foundation. It taught me how to run a business. It taught me how to do sales, because mm-hmm. everything we do is sales framework around it. Mm-hmm. But more so, it gave me the confidence that I needed to stand up in front of rooms, be in front of cameras just like this. Know what the hard work is. Like, what is the work? Like you said in the beginning, like what it takes to actually make your first six figures. And mm-hmm. I feel like I crawled and crawled, scratched and scratched, and put in a lot of hours, bro. Like, people don't talk about it a lot, but to be successful, bro, like I almost separated myself from everybody that I know and love. Mm-hmm. It was just me. And I put that time in, and I built up a good infrastructure and some great relationships that I still have to this day. And that's when I made my first six figures, bro. Mm. And I never take that experience away from nothing. I'm glad that I went through it. And a lot of times you got to go through stuff to grow through stuff. And that was definitely part of my story, and I can't forget about it. I can't not talk about it.
We start off in 2018. Mm-hmm. And you're in, like you said, you're in the spot post college. You made a reference, which I think a lot of younger people can connect with, which is that, like, there are people that think like, oh, once college is done, we off to the M's, and it's mm-hmm. it doesn't usually go that way.
Right.
So you're working at this halfway house. You're in an environment now where you're surrounded by people that's been doing 5, 10, 15, 20 years, mm-hmm. and that's a moment where you realize, okay, I'm probably gonna have to pivot here. Like, this probably isn't the end all be all.
Yep.
I want to confirm something. You talked about leaving your job to go all in at the time on Forex before making your entrance into the real estate and credit space.
Right.
Is it true that when you left your job, and I believe in 2019, at the time you only had like $700 in your account?
Yeah, if I could bring the screenshot up, I wish I would have, but I had $700 in my Bank of America account. And at that time, I quit my job and I actually went to London. We had a whole conference. Like, I spent my last over there, and that probably was like one of the most toughest times of my life. Number one, I just quit my job, and you got to figure out how to use your time when you leave your job, because we in this structured mindset of, I wake up at this time, go to lunch at this time, come home, go to sleep. And at that point in time, when I left my job, I had nothing but free time, and I'm trying to figure myself out. So I had $700 to my name, and it's like, we all human. So when you're back against the wall, sometimes you go harder than you ever thought of. And from there, bro, I was able to go ahead and grow my team to where I was bringing in my first $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, and $10,000 a month. I touched my first six figures. Ultimately, I reached the goal of making $25,000 a month, which was amazing from that platform. But yeah, bro, I only had $700 in my bank account, I remember.
Interesting. So what would you say was a bigger, because most entrepreneurs would tell people who are in 9 to 5 but want to make that transition to business, and I'm sure you've heard this.
Yeah.
Before you leave your job, make sure you have, you know, at least 6 months saved up.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're making at least twice as much or three times as much in your business as you're making in your job.
Mm-hmm.
Like giving yourself that safety net.
Yeah.
Corey looked at the safety net and been like, bump all that.
Yeah.
We out of here now.
Mm-hmm.
What was a bigger motivating factor for you at the time? Was it a fear of stagnancy and just being in the same spot for year after year after year?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it the desire for just more? Like, I know there's more. I know I want to be financially free. I don't want to make millions upon millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. What was the bigger motivating factor for you?
Yeah, so honestly, it was that I wanted more. And it was crazy. During that time frame when I was about to quit my job, I had a conversation with my mom. Mm-hmm. And this, I would say, like, I feel like the younger you are, the more flexible you are to making, you know, rational decisions like that. It's just like, yo, I'm about to just go balls to the wall with it. The more older you get, you gotta start thinking about if you got a family
taken care of
and whatnot. Like, you got more calculated decisions. But one of the conversations we had was, yo, you still on Corey, you still on my insurance, so you might as well go ahead and get this year or two out and just go ahead and try it out. And luckily, I did have that support and cash for me to where I feel like if I fell on my behind, that I could go home. But another thing is that I never wanted to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I made it out. I graduated college. I don't want to backtrack.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things, all of those factors around me, you know, it made me who I am, and it made me go ahead and push harder. And I really thought to myself at this point where I was thinking when I went forward with it, nobody really did what I did in my family, like, ever. Like, even the people around me, like, I feel like I motivated a lot more people to believe in themselves, because, bro, like, nobody believed in me when I did it. Like, people looked at me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But now, to this day, I still feel like I'm just floating on faith right now, and I'm giving a lot more people that inspiration. Like, yo, if I could do it, you could do it too.
So when you ultimately take the leap of faith to leave your job in 2019, how is it exactly? I understand you touched on how you found Forex, but where does real estate come in? How did that become the next step?
Yeah, so what was wild was during that time where I started making a lot of money in Forex, crazy story, this is how I came across credit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing calls, so many trainings, like, we on trainings, and my laptop, like, literally blacked out.
Okay.
So I had to run to, like, an 8 o'clock training that night or something, like a webinar, and I have no device to do it, so I went to a Best Buy, and when I went to Best Buy, at this point we got paid every Friday. It was something that's called Pay Quicker, so the money just get loaded onto your company debit card, but they didn't load up by the time I went there. So at that point in time, I'm like, I'm just wait for the payment. But then it was like, no, you could just finance. I'm like, cool, yeah, I make six figures, I do it. They ran my credit and they declined me. It was like, you got a 536. So, bro, I swear, that's when I realized it don't matter how much money you make, if your credit is not where it needs to be, then you still can't play in this economy that you want to play in. And it's more expensive to have bad credit. So from that point, that's when I went home and I came across, like, him 500 in them. Like, I came across 500 in them. And I was seeing that they was on the jets, or they was buying cribs, and they was doing the things that I feel like I should be doing right now, or I wanted to do. I was aspiring to do that, retire my mom. But they doing it, and they leveraging credit, and they making it look way more smooth. There's a way simpler route to do this. You don't got to use your own cash to do it. So that's how I came across credit. I had bought a little course. He had like $20, $30. He was selling at that point in time, Airbnb course, all that type of stuff. And that's when I dived into credit. I had paid somebody to fix my credit, bro. I paid somebody $4,000.
Wait, brother. I've been in the credit repair space, brother. Unless you have 80 bankruptcies on your credit report, ain't no reason so you should be paying nobody for four racks,
bro. Four racks.
Yeah,
bro.
Go ahead and call the Taliban.
Yeah, man. He got me out of the four, and is like what I took from that. Like he kind of, that's what got me to start doing it myself, because he was doing my stuff and some stuff would come up. I'm going through the project and I'm asking, because I'm already a natural like teacher. Like I want to know how to do for somebody else. So I'm asking, I'm like, yo, how you do that? But he's not really trying to give me the game.
Mm.
So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to just go learn from somebody else. Mm. I came across King Teak and Lexus CEO.
Okay.
Yeah, so those were my first mentors, bro.
First mentor. So the first, because you mentioned also, shouts to him 500, by the way. Anyone who's in the credit space, in some way, shape, or form, Marcus has had
some type of impact.
Mm-hmm. GOAT. You mentioned Ratik and Lex, which are all, I'm very, very good friends with Ratik. Shout out to them.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your first real mentors.
In the credit space, yeah. Like locked in, like drop 5 racks with them, like drop the bag with them. Like, bro, I'm trying to change my life.
And what was that experience like?
It was scary.
Okay.
Because my Forex business was slowing down. That's when it was the decline of Forex at that point in time. Luckily, I was not the flashy spender Rolex guy doing Forex. Mm-hmm. I saved a lot of my money because I always just felt like I needed to go. This might not last forever in that business. So I played it smart because it'd be ups and downs in that business. And I used, I think I had like at that point, like maybe 40K left. And I used 5 and I prayed on it. I'm like, Rock, like, yo, bro, like I'm giving this to you. I'm in a vulnerable space right now, bro. Like, teach me the game. And from there, I locked in. I remember, bro, I joined them summer of, like, probably August of 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a whole month and a half and just studied credit, business credit, all that regular credit. Like, they was the first people. And then I took on my first client, started getting results. Then I got my credit right. I started getting a little bit of funding. Then I got my first Airbnbs, my first tour cars on there. And then from there, I was just coasting, like, fixing everybody's credit until eventually I cleaned my credit up all the way at that point. And I was able to then acquire like my first 100,000.
Mm.
I ran into Newt the summer of 2022.
The GOAT.
Yes. And from there, bro, it's just like wildfire. It's like one thing just hit the boom, boom. So when I see people talking, like when I hear and see people on the internet saying 1 year can change your life, like 1 year changed my life, like literally. And with credit, is a faster vehicle for you to get there
mm-hmm.
without saving your own money. It's like I wouldn't be here right now if I didn't have the funds to do what I need to do right now.
You just said so much there that I want to unpack. First, I want to talk about the mentorship component of what you just broke down.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned some individuals. I've been fortunate enough to sit down and interview just about everyone that you just named.
Yeah,
and know them personally, which is dope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know for you, whether it be Newt,
mm-hmm.
whether it be Ratik, Lex, Marcus, and just the mentorship that you were able to get from working with those individuals. Were there any lessons, any principles, any values that you got from working with them, whether it's all of them combined or each of them individually, that you still carry in your business till this day?
Yeah, they all extremely disciplined.
Mm.
Like every single one of them. Started with Newt, like he don't take no days off.
Nah. Amen.
It's some days like me, like I'm fresh out of college, so I want to still be like a YN.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
But I'm like, and I catch myself out sometime at the club. I'm like, I look at new watch of my strap, like, damn, let my big brother down.
Yeah, yep.
Like, let me go in the house and lock it for the week.
Right.
What Rock and Lex taught me was the power of having a husband and a wife in business.
Mm.
When it gets to that time, like how important that whole foundation and that nucleus is, and how you guys can run faster together for sure. And then I would say like other mentors, I went through Bobby as well too.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Mm-hmm. I would say right now, like, he opened in a lot of doors for me as well to bring me space. But all of them are extremely disciplined. Their goals never fade away.
Mm-hmm.
And they empower you to help you feel like you can do whatever it is that you want to do. So I think I'd be motivated by them when I see, like, all right, cool. Like, they leveling up every year. I need to be on the same type time.
I think it's also dope to hear you talk about the power of mentorship at such a young age, because I'm sure you see it too, man. You'll go on platforms like Instagram and some parts of social media, and you'll see people who are 20, 30, 40 years old
mm-hmm.
who will say things like, you know, mentorship is a scam. Why would I spend $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on this person to give me information, or why aren't they giving the information away for free?
Mm-hmm.
From your experience, because now you're in a situation where now you're also coaching.
Yeah.
So you're actively being coached, but you're also helping other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that most people have such a large misconception about the power of mentorship and why it's so important in the world of business?
Because it's really the environment, bro. Like the people around them are not doing it. The people around them is not going to the place they need to be. But a lot of times they could, like, I posted something on my Instagram a couple of days ago. Bad news will go around the world two times before good news put its shoes on.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's facts, though.
Yeah, like, right. You hear one bad thing, and it's just like people thrive off negative attention. So you hear one misconception, mm-hmm. and a lot of people don't understand that when you come into a mentorship, like, you got to put that work in. Like, it's information on us, execution on you at the end of the day. So mm-hmm. if that person, he or she then come in and they probably pay money and they don't do nothing with it, with mm-hmm. the information, don't execute. You could tell, I got Mizzy, I could tell 10 times do the same thing. They still ask me how.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I put it 3 different ways for you, 10 different ways. So that's what they see, and they're like, I don't know about it. But also, like I said, you know, they upbringing, you know, they really ain't have nobody in their corner. Like, I wish to this day that I had a mentor at a very young age, like yeah. growing up. I wish I had that, and I didn't have that growing up. But to the, like, I wish I had that. And like, that's why I like to take on the young guys, like the 16, 17, 18-year-olds still. Like, I like juicing them up. Like, let's get your credit going. Let me do as much as help you as much as possible, because, look, you 18, and I'm giving you this game that you got right now. By the time you 21, 25, you should be years ahead of me.
Yeah.
Years ahead of me.
Hey, business owners, what if I told you that for just 90 cents a day, you could get access to $45,000 in business funding? I just launched my Credit Mastery community, where inside you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program worth tens of thousands of dollars that's going to teach you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also gonna be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that's gonna be working with you to reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're gonna be providing you 2 coaching calls a week, where we're gonna teach you the exact banks that you need to go to get access to anywhere between $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat access $50,000 in funding from Chase, help Alvin get $8,000 in funding from Amex, help Matt boost his credit score by over 150 points, and help Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below the video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
You go from the halfway house to betting on Forex. Forex mm-hmm. slows down.
Mm-hmm.
You find yourself in the credit space.
Mm-hmm.
You make an investment that puts your back against the wall. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you get the fruits of that investment. Fast forward, you're here now. Yeah. Now, ultimately, you're mainly frequenting just the credit and the real estate space.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first real estate deal?
Yeah.
Whenever you hear somebody sigh, when you ask that question, there's a story behind that. Walk me through your first real estate. You hold your head and everything. What happened with your first real estate deal?
Bro, I be feeling like sometimes God just be testing me to see if I really want it.
Okay.
Like, me and my mans are talking about it, but like, it's like, stuff will go so smooth for everybody else, but as soon as Corey Haggie go put his hands on it, it's like, I want to see if you want it. And that was my experience. Like, I was with Newt August 22. I got my first property under contract in November of 22, like around Thanksgiving time. I supposed to close in December, but of course, the property that I went out there, it did have a tenant in there,
mm-hmm.
and the contract definitely said the tenant need to be vacant mm-hmm. when I'm closing, but that's not what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I close on the property, and we go do our final walkthrough. Or before I close on the property, we go do our final walkthrough. The dude is still in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, bro, like, yo, I'm trying to close my first deal. This dude's still in there. The contract said gotta be out. So now they going back, and the property management staff is going back with the seller, who in Puerto Rico somewhere, not answering the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And we gotta deal with this basically squatter tenant right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do cash for keys to get him out, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to pay like $2,000 to go ahead and get him out. And he took all stuff. I took like 4 days after I closed to get him out. But he did end up getting out, and like, it's crazy though, because I see him all the time. He still live on the block. But I paid him a couple bucks, like, during the project. Like, if I needed to clean up, I would pay him to go clean my stuff out. Like, me and him end up being cool right now. But that was like, my first experience with real estate, having some type of squad. And I told myself I'll never buy a house with anybody. I'm not going to buy the property if somebody is in there. Mm. Like, they gotta be out, like, the next 30 days before we close. So if I'm supposed to be closing in 30 days, we need to push it back 45 days because they need 30 days to move out technically. So that was my first experience, man. But after that, I did have a hiccup because I was doing a lot of stuff like under the table.
Okay.
Without permits in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Still do sometimes, like newspaper specials, like we like to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I got to the end of my project and I think I was doing siding on the outside of the house. And the license inspection people had came through, shut my project down.
Mm.
And that honestly pushed my project. If I would have been done in like 90 days, bro, because I got the system intact right now. I got the guys. But it pushed the project out to like 120 days. So that taught me the permit process of having to go ahead and get my drawings, you know, my engineer stands, having everybody pull their permits and having inspections and all that stuff. So that first deal, it taught me a lot in that first deal. And honestly, I was able to move a lot smoother going forward.
And I think that's great. And the reason I asked that is because I want to be able to just talk about different aspects of the credit game, but then also the real estate game to educate people, because you've been on both sides of the coin. You've had some deals that have gone great, I'm sure, and some deals that have gone not so great.
Yeah.
And while you've been able to see the power of mentorship, there are some other people that may be watching that want to get into these spaces that haven't, whether they have or haven't invested in themselves, can look to you and what we'll talk about here almost as a form of mentorship and where they can learn from your mistakes, be able to get valuable insight on, okay, this is the step-by-step blueprint I need to take to have success. Is that all right with you? Can we go ahead and do that?
Yeah, for sure.
So if we're starting from like ground zero, like I'm talking, I'm super green, I'm a baby, I don't know nothing about real estate. What's the first actionable step that I need to go ahead and take to put myself in position to secure my first deal?
For sure. So I think the first thing you need to do is understand what your numbers are, right? So we need to know how much this purchase is, how much rehab we're going to be putting in there, and what our after repair value is, right? So that's initially what we need to know. And then what's our exit strategy? Are we going to sell this house, or are we going to Airbnb it out, or are we going to hold it? And once we figure out, cool, which one is more lucrative and what decision you want to make with it, now let's go ahead and acquire the capital for it. And that's where your credit, you guys, is going to come into play. Like, before I close my property, this might not be for everybody's story, but I already had like $150,000, $200,000. So I came to Newt with the bread already. A lot of y'all going to come to a coach or come to me, and you probably not going to have the most fun. So we got to go on some funding spree. So we got to get you some capital, right? Let's get you some capital. And with that capital, you'll be able to get the house under contract. So you're going to go ahead and place your earnest money deposit, get the house under contract. The numbers make sense. Cool. From that point, we got around 30 to 45 days to get all of our paperwork done with our hard money lender. You either going to go hard money or you're going to go private if you're trying to make it an investment property. If you want to go in and get the house under your personal name, then you're probably going to go FHA or conventional. But for this purpose, we're talking about investing. So we're going to go ahead and tie in with a hard money lender or a private money lender. So with those people, they need all your documents. They not really want to look at tax returns at that point. They just want to see that you got some cash in there. So what I teach my mentees is that when you first come to me, I need you to start to beef up your bank statements, because that's what they want to look at. So a hack that you guys can use is take a line of credit, right? You got some good credit. You got a year, 2 year old LLC, or you got good personal credit. Go to a bank like Univest. Go to a bank like First Citizens. Go to Citizens Bank, right? Go get you a line of credit. It don't even need to be a lot. Maybe 5 to 10K. You could go ahead and take that, move the money from the line of credit, put it in your bank statement just on the last day. So right now, today, like the 19th, the end of the year, about to come to the 31st, everybody's bank statement should be hitting around. You just put the money in there on that day. Let it just sit there so that the statement reflect that you got the statement, is got 5 to 10K in there liquid. Do that for like a month or two. Now we ready to go to this hard money lender. Show them the statements. They're going to want to see all your LLC docs, your EIN docs, all that good stuff. During this process as well, too, we're going to be making sure that we got our builder's risk insurance as well, too. Because the hard money not going to give you the loan without knowing that if something happened, they getting their money back. So we got our insurance on this property at that point in time. And then we going to get to the point where we all clear to close on this deal. And from there, that's when the real work start. right? We want to go ahead and make sure that we have all our contractors. So the cool thing that I got right now, and I feel like I learned different systems, but all my mentees, for the most part, they coming through and they using all my contractors. I'm making their life easy, bro. Like, and it's like, you could, that's the difference between somebody that's brand new and somebody that got a type of coach and mentor. It's like, you going to pay for this with either your time or your money. But yeah, like, coaching and mentorship, the purpose of that is to make sure that you don't trip over the same rocks that I did. So for somebody that's new, that's coming in, they are not burdened with the fact that, okay, I just closed this deal. Now I got this mortgage and whatnot coming from a hard money lender. But, yo, I got to, and I also got to find guys to do the property for me. All right, well, Haggy already got the guys. Y'all seeing how my property is looking. That's what attracted you to me already. These are saying, guys, go ahead, go crazy with it. And I'm open to it. And I feel like I if I got the resources to go ahead and provide to somebody, then I'm doing it. I provide to them everything. Lenders, title companies, insurance, refinance stuff, contractors, banking reps, everything. Like, everything to go ahead and get your deal done, we're going to make sure it's done.
I want to break that down a bit. I want to start on the financing side, because you talked about hard money lenders. You talked about private money lenders. And I've also sat down with investors that have talked about, and I've even heard you talk about it as well, but using lines of credit and business credit. When you personally are going into a deal, how do you... Before you go into a deal, how do you decide what line of financing that you want to use, whether you want to go the route of hard money or, you know, saying, all right, let me liquidate this business credit card. Let me go this line of credit route. How do you personally make that decision?
Based on how much the property is going to cost, and then how much it's going to take for me to go in and rehab the property. A lot of times, if you're trying to scale faster, then you're going to go with the hard money or the private money. Because y'all, if I go that route, I don't gotta exhaust all of my funds on this one project. I could just use a portion to go talk with the private money, or go ahead and talk with the hard money and bring it to the table. So that's what I use. But to actually get those deals actually done, I like to use the lines of credit. And I use the Citizens Bank line of credit for a lot of my deals, because they gave me like $70,000. So I'm able to close on a couple of the projects at one time. And I like the lines of credit for this one reason, y'all. It's easier. It's already liquid. If I got this credit card from Amex, or I got this credit card from, I don't know, Chase for $50,000, you see a lot of that floating around, I still got to get that money off. And I'm not going to do a cash advance to get off, because that interest is insane.
Right?
So I'm going to have to go liquidate it through different means. But if I already got the line, the credit is already cash. So let me just go ahead and move the $15,000 from my line of credit into my checkers account, go ahead and have them wired it over to the title company, or go ahead and make the make my cashier's check, and I'm good to go.
How, let's say, if I'm kind of analyzing going either route, whether I want to go hard money or I want to go the business credit route, you said something earlier when you talked about you finding out where your credit standing was when you had went to go make that purchase at Best Buy. If I'm if I'm somebody who wants to invest, but I find out that, man, my credit is shot, like I'm in a mud bud, like it's bad. What does my credit report need to look like for me to even leverage it to put myself in position to get access to capital that I would need to now walk into a Citizens Bank and get a line of credit, walk into a Univest or any of these other banks and get the funding I need to now invest in real estate?
Yeah, I say that the golden spot, like a 720.
Okay.
All right. I know 680 is just floating around the internet, but at a 680, my question to you is, why you not at a 700? Usually if you're at a 680, you probably got a little bit too high utilization, which is going to cause you to get declined for different credit cards anyway. So I tell people, like, let's get you over that 720, and that's going to give you the power to go ahead and walk into those banks and grab the funding. Let's make sure these inquiries are low, below at least 4. Let's make sure our utilization per credit card is at least under 30%. If we get to 10%, we cool, because that's another thing. Like, I come across people who even want funded from me, and my funding company help them out, but they got overall usage of like 20%, but their individual credit card might be maxed out. That's going to cause you to get denial.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that the usage down, no collections, of course. Age is right. That's another important thing. And then they should be good after we build these relationships out to get the funding.
What is, if we then do all of that to get our personal credit right, one of the things that with us both being in the credit space, we hear a lot of people about making sure your business is set up right, making sure your business is structured before you go to these banks. Because if you go to these banks, your personal is good, but your business isn't structured properly, you might run into some issues. What is my, how does my business have to be structured in order for me to even put myself in position to get access to the capital.
For sure. So biggest things that we need to have right now, number one, our names, right? We want to make sure our names are super low risk. Mm. I tell people to like have like their sub name be Solutions or Enterprises, or like mine's is like Run With Haggy, like something where I got to tell you what I do for you to know. And, you know, at that point, it's super low risk. I want to make sure that I got my business phone numbers and set up. I like the 1-800 numbers right now. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with one of my Chase reps, and that was a conversation we had. He said, start telling them to put the 1-800, just look a little bit more professional.
Okay.
So I passed that knowledge down. That should be able to help a lot of you guys. Address. So me and one of my mentees today, we just had a funny conversation on the way here. TD Bank, and this should help a lot of y'all out. So TD Bank is a bank that will give brand new businesses under a year lines of credit up to $25,000.
Didn't notice. Okay.
So you don't need 2 years for this specific one. So he did that and he got conditionally approved.
Mm-hmm.
But the conditions was that rep who he did the application with, they got to go actually check out where your business is located at.
Hey, that's a little bit of a curveball.
Right. So she went there today.
Yeah. Okay.
She went to
I'm assuming that didn't work out too well. I didn't work out too well.
Didn't work out too well.
Okay.
So now I'm like, what address you gave her? He said, I gave her one on the west. I'm like, all right, you need to actually buy that virtual address so that she go there, your stuff is on there. So that was like one of the first. I'm like, yo, this, when you coaching people, you learning from them as well too. So that was one. So your addresses, y'all, make sure y'all email address is all good. Websites, you know, I want to talk on this too. Again, funded for a client. He's in the cannabis space.
Mm-hmm.
I told him.
Mm. Yeah.
He gave the Chase rep the cannabis website. That ain't go good. He thought he was getting 50. He only got 5K. So that actually makes a difference. So this is what I'm about to tell y'all. You know you want to do real estate. You know you want to do trucking or Airbnb or cannabis, right? But you got to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk with the different institutions you dealing with. So I advise y'all have two websites. One that's regularly generic, one that you're telling the rep that you do, whatever it is, tech, finance, not finance, tech, consulting, all of those things. And then you have your landing page for what you actually do. You can have that on your Instagram or your social or whatnot. But, yeah, you need to have those websites intact, and that's how we're going to play that.
So let's say we do all the heavy lifting on the credit side, and we're now in position, going back over to the real estate side, right? For you specifically, because there are so many different pockets in the real estate space, different types of properties. You have people in the commercial space and people that do short-term rental arbitrage. If we're staying just residential, I know that there are, as someone from the outside, because I'm not an investor, there is single family residents and then you have multifamily residents.
Yeah.
If I'm as a newer investor, are there pros and cons to going, what are the pros and cons to going in either direction, whether I want to invest single family versus multifamily? Does it make more sense for me to start smaller or go like, nah, I need a 3-unit coming out the gate. I need a 4-unit going out the gate.
Yeah. I think that going multi in the beginning is where we need to be at. And reason being, number one, you could go ahead and grow your net worth more. The house is worth more. But then number two, you cash flow more, right? The more doors, the more units that you got, the more cash flow that you're going to have. So I always think about worst case scenario, because everybody always talk about best case scenario. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about worst case scenario, right? So especially if you're holding properties, right? So you get a duplex, but unit A, tenant don't pay the rent, but unit B is still paying the rent. At least that can offset what your cost for the mortgage could be on that month-to-month basis until you evict them out the property or they catch up, so you're not burning your pockets all the way.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing damage control a little bit more at that point. But also with the multi-families, man, at the end of the day, whether you sell them or you're doing some type of cash out refinance, since those properties are worth more, now I could go ahead and get more out of my home equity when I'm pulling it out with my cash out. So I like the multi-families a lot.
So we find our property, we get it, we secure it. You touched on something before. You talked about the headache of you getting your first property. I feel like whenever I sit down with real estate investors, most of the stories usually come from two things. It either comes from a bad tenant or a bad contractor.
I have both of those.
Talk to me. What's the worst contractor story that you had to date?
Oh, man. My framer was terrible.
Break it down.
Oh, it's just like, it was during the first project.
Oh, this is the same project?
Yeah, it was one of them. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I feel like one of my things I had to work on, like learning in the beginning, was framing in the beginning. Like, that was my weakest aspect of my whole project in the beginning. Then I vowed to myself, like, I gotta get a good framer. But yeah, he was just terrible, bro. Like, and the framing, your framing is going to dictate how the rest of your project is going to turn out, right? So if he framing some and the door too small, or he's framing it and my windowsill's a little slanted, or, you know, I don't got the closet space that I need, or the bathroom needs to put their soap and stuff in, like, you're going to see all of that during the finish work. If they not putting stuff, if they not framing it to the point where I could shoot my sheetrock inside of there, they not going to be able to hang sheetrock. So all of those things was coming in with him, and it was just terrible. And bro, he actually left Philly. I think he moved back to Brazil or something. He's not doing work in Philly no more. Like, it was crazy, bro. Like, it was wild.
So then you talked about how, I mean, with you right now, you're putting a lot of the people that's under you in position with your contractors. You've bumped your head enough times where it's like, I'm going to just give y'all my people so you don't have to find it.
Yeah.
For people who don't have that kind of access, what are some of the actionable steps you took to find contractors in the beginning days, good contractors in the beginning days, that you could actually put in these properties and know, like, nah, we're good?
Like, three ways that y'all can do it. Well, the first way is always from reference. So if I see an investor that's going hard in the city, or he's doing really, really well in my area, I think that word of mouth is the best type of reference for somebody, because you already can see what work they doing in somebody else's house. So, for example, if I got, like, boom, like, you got a bathroom guy, a tile guy, here, send me his guy, whatever case may be. So that's number one. Number two is when you're going down to your city hall, or your where you could pull your permits at. Those contractors in there, they are licensed. If they down there pulling permits. So those are good guys to go ahead and rub shoulders with and actually get their card and pull up on the job site and see what's going on. A third way is actually riding around. There's a lot of gentrification going on right now in the Philadelphia area, specifically in the North Philly area. So, I mean, any city that you're in right now, if you see a lot of buildings going up, you should be riding over there. And today I rolled past like three developments happening in like South Jersey. I'm like, I gotta stop over there tomorrow just to get their numbers. So when it's time for me to expand in Jersey, and then Home Depot, right? It's a hidden gem, but you could tell the good contractors from the not good ones. The way I was able to do it was because I run a lot of my projects. I was the GC for my project. So when I would go to Home Depot, if I see familiar faces in here, oh, you got a lot of work. So cool. Let me get your contact information. You pull up on them. So that's four ways on how you can go ahead and find some good contractors.
You said something just now that was key. You talked about being the GC of your own project. I've had different individuals that also invest in the Philly space that have talked about the importance of that and how that's created a lot of leverage in running real estate projects. For those who don't know, GC, for those, if I'm correct, is general contractor.
Yeah, general contractor, yeah.
What is a GC, and why is being your own GC so important in the world of real estate?
So the general contractor is the person who runs the whole project, right? He's the ones who are giving out the budget. He's the ones who are hiring all the subcontractors who are actually doing the work. And ultimately, you the person who needs to get that project from point A to point Z, and it's done. The importance of it is because I get to control the flow, the cash flow of things, right? So if I'm telling my lender that it's costing $120,000, I'm actually getting a project done for like $102,000. I can go ahead and pocket that $18,000 difference that's in there. A lot of times, for example, my demo is $10,000 on the paper, but me and my demo guy is so locked in, so tight, that he could go ahead and run my demo for like $7,000. So that $3,000 right there, that can be put towards, you know, different materials, myself.
Gotta go to the store after this.
So it's definitely super important. Like, that's one of the ways that you could profit some money during your real estate deal is being your own general contractor.
Could you also speak to, because I never see this ever being talked about on social media, but I know it's, and you talked about it at the beginning, such an important part of real estate, title, and like working with title companies, because the horror stories that I've heard are people that have bought properties and afterwards, like, what you mean I owe $50,000? Yeah, go ahead and pay us up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What is title and why is that so important when it comes to acquiring real estate?
For sure. So title is the place where they're going to hold the money in escrow. That's where we come in to sign these deals and mm-hmm. you sign your life away.
That big signing thing. Your life away crazy, okay?
Signing that thick piece of paper, right? But the importance of them is they supposed to have your back, though, mm-hmm. as the investor, right? So something important that everybody needs to make sure that any title company that you work with have is something that's called title insurance, mm-hmm. right? They're the ones that's going to run and make sure there's no liens, no judgments, or anything that's on that property. They want to make sure that the person who says they own this project, they are actually the owner,
yeah,
right? So what I have my title company do, they give me title insurance. Because when they run an initial check, they're going to see if it's not an outstanding water bill or if it's any judgment. Somebody slipped and now they got a lien on the house, or somebody did work in this house, a contractor, and the owner never paid the contractor. That owner got to pay the contractor out before they sell out. All of that stuff comes into play. So I like to put and I actually got a story about this because I bought a property.
Come on now.
Yeah, I bought a property and we ran title and all that good stuff. I did have title insurance, but later down, as I was buying it, they was moved out of that house for so long that they couldn't get a water reading for the water meter, so they didn't know how much they owed. So what we had to do was we had to make an amendment with the title company. The actual seller of the house had to put like $20,000 in escrow just to cover if something was going to pop up later down the line. Luckily, none did pop up. He was able to get his money out of there. But that was an example of how like title insurance and the title companies are supposed to have your back for sure.
Mm-hmm. So from acquisition to the financing, if we're talking about now the after, right? We got our property secured. We talked about the hardship of just dealing with tenants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What does the work look like now? In the similar to what we're doing to contractors, how do we make sure we're vetting these tenants that we're putting in the property the right way? Because the last thing you want, especially if you live in a state that doesn't have great eviction laws, is the wrong tenant up in there.
Yes, sir, bro. And I'm going through getting the eviction out right now. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if I've had an investor on here that isn't in the process of like trying to get somebody out of property. It gets real.
It gets real, man. And I was talking to my lawyer. I was like, so it's nothing that we can do. He's like, nah, you just got to go through the process. I'm like, all right, cool. But the biggest thing about Venom, like over my experience, is that I'm going for the elderly people now. Like I want people that's 40, 50 years old. And they got some type of social security coming in, something that's coming in that could go in and offset it. But what I'm looking for with any type of tenant at this very moment, I'm looking to see if you got any evictions, any criminal history. I'm looking to see, you know, your credit score. And I literally target a lot of Section 8 people.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, probably like my first two tenants, I wasn't too much. I was a little bit more lenient towards their credit profile.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know they on Section 8 and Section 8 was paying the full balance.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't had to worry about nothing. But those tenants end up being ones that I had to like, be a little stern with because they tendencies, like they don't pay things. They was a little bit more reckless with the plumbing and whatnot. So those little things came into place, but that's what I'm looking at with it. And then I think what could be sneaky or what can be hard at times, man, is just having good discernment with who you letting into your properties, bro. A lot of, like at this very moment, like I said 1,000 prayers. Like I only want good tenants to come through. Like,
right.
So, cause I'll get people who got the 700, they got all the check. But now it's like they get in there and they could be a horror story. They could have these issues that come down the line. You never really know until they're in your property, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to tell. Well, one thing I would tell any new investors or any new landlords, like one thing that I learned from my first eviction was, you know, this is a business and you need to take emotions out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Being lean, like, yeah, the tenant make up the rent, whatnot. Like, no, I'm not doing that anymore. When they miss a month, I'm going straight to the lawyer. Let's put this paperwork in. And I could go ahead and get them out the house because the longer you let them sit in there, the longer you're going to have to deal with you the one paying that mortgage, not them, right? So you want to get them out there so they're not squatting in your house and you could go ahead and just get a new, fresh face in there.
Do you manage your own properties or do you have a property management company?
What's happening is, like, I'm hands-on, but not hands-on at the same time.
Okay.
I keep it in the family.
Okay, break that down.
Yeah, so I hired basically my mom. Mm. She's the the point person for all of the properties, all of the units. They reach out to mom now. Mm-hmm. And I pay my mom the same way I would pay a property management company. Mm-hmm. I got family that are, they not like general contractors, but they have some type of union experience. Like right now, they in there turning over property, laying down some floors, painting. So my biggest thing, bro, like, is making money, yes, but I see a lot of these families, man, they like a lot of them, the strong ones, they uplifting each other. And I want to keep the money in the family. I feel like that's better for me to do that than making all the money and you reach a certain level and family keep calling you for money. Well, look, let's go ahead and work together. It's going to make sense for me to go ahead and provide, and we doing all these things. So I want to go ahead and keep on paying my family first and putting them in position to make some money with me.
That's an interesting move to make, because I think they're mixing money with blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can get tricky.
It could.
Because there a lot of times there could be that sense of entitlement of like, especially when, you know, like you said, for example, you employed your mom.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of family, that may be difficult for them, because at some point you have some people that if their mind ain't right,
mm-hmm.
they'll look at you and be like, man, this dude younger than me.
Yeah.
Making more money than me.
Yeah.
Nah, this ain't, I don't know how I feel about this. And now you got people that stealing behind your back, mm-hmm. talking behind your back. You brought them in to help the business. Now they're hurting the business. Mm-hmm. You have some people that are in the real estate space that won't even rent to family, yeah. because it's like, I got to pay you $1,800 a month to live here. Like, facts. Nah, you my nephew. Mm-hmm. Like, you my little man. Like, right. I don't got to pay you anything. Did that thought ever go through your mind? Because that's stuff that people who are watching are dealing with right now. So yeah. what are your thoughts on that?
That you, like, all of those points were great. But the two things I thought about going into it was, like, the people that I brought on board that are family, like, they already have a business mind. Mm. And then secondly, I make them feel like this is theirs too.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not just Corey's units. These is ours. So when I told them, like, hey, how our stuff looking? What's the numbers looking like? How we looking?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like once you make people feel like it's theirs, they get some sense of like, okay, like we doing this together. We building this empire up together. And that's why we flowing like this right now.
I love that. Let's say somebody who's watching this right now doesn't have the luxury of having people around them who are business minded. You and I were actually talking off camera. You actually just came from ATL.
Yeah, just came from Atlanta.
The power of proximity is so important, because if you don't have the right people around you in something that you're building, man, mm-hmm. like it just makes everything that much harder.
It do.
And that's why mentorship is so dope, because not only are you getting access to information, you're getting access to networks of people that get it.
Yep.
If I'm crazy enough to pay some dude on the internet $10,000 mm-hmm. in hopes that he's going to help me make a couple $100,000
yeah.
and you in here, all right, yep. well, let's have a conversation. Let's see if there's something there, right?
Yep.
38%. That's the amount of entrepreneurs that are struggling to get their business funded because their personal credit isn't where it needs to be. Now, you can look into alternatives like corporate credit cards and vendor accounts, but the truth is, the easiest way to get access to 5 to 6 figures in funding is to have good personal credit. As an entrepreneur, the stress of trying to build a successful business is already enough as is. So why work harder than you need to when you can simplify the funding process by getting your credit restored? My company, Takeoff Financial, has served hundreds of entrepreneurs just like you by helping them avoid the pain of getting denied for business funding by restoring their personal credit, and we want you to be the next one. So click the link above or below this video to secure your free consultation, and let's put you in position to get your funding that your business needs.
Some people don't have the aren't fortunate enough to where they're coming from environments where they're surrounded by people with business who are business minded.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to those individuals? What are some different things that they could do to get around or get in the right rooms and get around the right people so that they can start taking those steps towards becoming successful in this real estate space?
Yeah, for sure. So it, like, your local real estate meetups is a lot of like people's first place that they get into.
Mm.
I went to maybe like one or two of them, right? And I was somebody who was probably just like a lot of people where I always wanted to get into real estate initially, like even during my Forex time, but I just couldn't find the right coach. So when you see people on the internet, right, and you want them to go ahead and coach you, if they throw in free events, go to those free networking events. Like, you never know what's going to come out of it. And when you go ahead and double down on picking a mentor, you got to pick somebody who you know is going to have your best interests at heart, somebody who care for the people. Like, go through their page. Go see what their humble beginnings are, right? Instagram is a highlight reel.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if they only showing highlights, then, hey. Also, another thing is your mentor being mentored,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you, like, we mentors and we coaching people and we pour a lot into people, but who pouring into us?
Yeah.
Right. And are we expanding on the knowledge that we currently have, or am I saying the same things and being repetitive to you over and over again? So we got to stay sharp. So those are the things that I like to look at, and who are we connected to? Right. Cause look, I'm connected in these spaces. I could go ahead and help you get to the same place as well too. So that's why I would tell people, like, you gotta, as much as you might be shy, you might be nervous, you got to get into those rooms, and you got to get out of your city a lot of the times too. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if I was in Patterson still, and I didn't spread my wings and you just go down the road to South Jersey, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have met the people I need to meet to go in and get into the forest base to turn into the real estate or the credit or whatever the case may be. So all of this stuff happened because I got out of my comfort zone.
It's interesting that you say that, because I'm sure you have a lot of people that you grew up with, mm-hmm. went to school with, just were around at some point in time, whether it was people you used to work with at the mm-hmm. halfway house or went to Rhone University with and beyond, that are probably either still in, not to just call it what it is, still in the same spot.
Spade.
Or they're probably doing worse. Mm-hmm. Do you ever deal with survivor's remorse, where you kind of look back and you just like, I feel like I got to go back and like save some people?
Yeah, 1,000%. Like, it could be family, people. And this is the thing, like, I'm only stick out my hand so much until, like, I can't drown in those things. Like, I can't get sucked in all the way to where it's taking me off my focus. But whenever I could, like, I'm about to have an event back in at the end of January, I'm going to promote heavy to those people that's back home, because mm-hmm. I know a lot of times it may be events happening, but, you know, it might hit different when they see me. Like, y'all know who I am. Mm-hmm. Y'all see where I came from, right? And just to keep on getting them in those places to help them grow. But, yeah, I definitely do. And it's crazy, because when I first started making, like, when I hit my first six figures, it was like, it's not that I almost felt like I didn't deserve it, but it was almost to the point like, damn, like, I'm eating good. I'm at Steak 48. I'm flying all over the place. And right. It's like, you look in your phone and your family's still back home where they at. And it's like, mm-hmm. damn, like, all right, I got to get them out of here. I got to go back and save them as well, too. So that's another part of the reason why I wanted to go ahead and keep things in house with the fam to help put them in position as well, too.
So with everything that you're, because I know we do have to start to close, but mm-hmm. with everything that you're doing now, and the success you've been able to mass up until this point, whether it's the properties, things in the funding side and beyond, what would you say at this point, what is the North Star that you're chasing? What is it that you're, what's the big picture goal that you're going for, whether it's 10 years from now, 20, 50, mm-hmm. 40, 50 years from now, that you're ultimately working towards in everything you're doing?
For sure. So my biggest thing that that we have in conversations about now is really to go ahead and give back to the youth. I want to be able to create a program, and everybody says this, but I really do want to be able to create a program that I could go into these inner cities and be able to just be have some type of foundation or some type of mentorship inside those schools, some type of curriculum inside those schools to go ahead and preach credit to them, preach the understanding of money management, because that's the most important thing. Speak some type of words to them to help them grow ahead and grow their self-esteem, because that'd be something too, like, kids could feel like they're not worth it. They're not worthy. They don't have the confidence. It wasn't given to them. So, like, just that big brother type of effect inside of these communities. And then from there, my scholarship program, I want to be able to start the scholarship program, give it back to people, and impact over 1,000 lives. Like, that's where it is. Like, I want Run With Haggy to be a household name. For sure.
I love it. Mm-hmm. As we close out, brother, for the people that are watching that are where you were back in that 2018, 2019 space, mm-hmm. they have that glass ceiling above them. They know they want to break to that next level, but they're not necessarily how or why or when it's going to happen or what they need to do to get there. Mm-hmm. What are some closing words? What are some parting words that you can give them as we begin to wrap this up?
For sure. I think this is very important. I live by this. If not me, then who? If not now, then when? And honestly, you got to understand, right? There's something in you right now. Like your potential is locked in a cage right now. And I know a lot of y'all probably going to watch this. You're going to have the chills that's coming through your body right now. But you just got to unleash it, okay? And a lot of times in life, you're not going to know everything 100%. Mm. A lot of times you just got to do it and figure it out as you're going. Just jump in, mm-hmm. right? Jump in the water and start swimming, right? And you're going to find yourself where you need to be. So just keep on believing in yourself and have faith. You can't have faith and be scared at the same time, right? It don't work like that. So activate that faith, all right? And then let the man upstairs go and lead you across that water.
Very well said. Mm-hmm. Family, I know you got a lot going on. I'd be remiss if I didn't give you opportunity here to tell the people where they can find you, but also how they can get connected with you. Yep. Your camera right there. Let them know where they can find you.
Yeah, so you guys can follow me on my Instagram, Rich Then Famous. Mm-hmm. What I got going on right now, you guys, is a community to where I'm helping a lot of entrepreneurs or just people on a day-to-day basis fix up their credit, get the business funding, but taking it a step further and helping you guys acquire your real estate properties, helping you guys if you want to learn how to help your communities with funding and credit as well too, digital products, all of those things. So I got a community right now that's allowing you guys to learn all of those things, and we take advantage of that on a week-to-week basis and help you guys run to your dreams.
I love it. Listen, you heard the man himself. Make sure you get tapped in and wrapped in with everything that my guy Corey is doing. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead, hit that like button, show this episode some love, tell a friend to come back, rewatch it again. As always, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marvin Francois, my guy Corey. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you all, and God bless. Peace.
Peace.